Ladies and gentlemen, will you please rise and direct your attention to the microphone behind home plate. Let's welcome Yankee Stadium veteran performer Robert Merrill as he sings our national anthem.
I don't get nervous for a lot of these things anymore, but I'm nervous right now.
I know you are. You're a little kid with a Yankees cap on. You look about seven.
I'm telling you, I'm nervous because I have Robert Merrill on the telephone. Hi, Mr. Merrill.
Hi.
How are you?
Is this Stan?
Yes.
Hi.
A happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
Say hi to my buddy Haney over here, too.
Yeah. Hi, Haney.
How are you doing, Robert?
Good.
I'm going to tell you right now. When I was a little kid and I was, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old going to Yankee Stadium, I remember my dad telling me that Robert Merrill was the Yankees' good luck charm. And I guess you just celebrated your silver anniversary for singing for the Yankees?
Even 1 year better, 26.
Ooh, 26 years. How did it get started with you singing at Yankee Stadium?
Well, when CBS bought the Yankees at that time, they asked me to record the song, national anthem, and I did at the studio. And then they played it at the Yankee Stadium, but I didn't do it live. And then when George bought the team the following year, he said, "Nah," he said, "I don't want you to do it on record." He said, "I want you to do it live." So I went out and sang it live, and it started then.
And now you, when the Yankees get into the World Series, you sing then. And,
oh my gosh, yes.
Well, you sang at the last World Series. I was telling Haney, he said, Robert Merrill sang the national anthem, but the Yankees lost the game. I said, but they won the series.
Yeah, they did. I was. They tell me every time I was batting 700.
Yeah. Is that what your average was, 700?
Yeah, I did the 77, 78, all the playoffs, too. You see, they didn't count the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
And I will never forget, we played the Dodgers in 77, I think
sure.
It was. And they beat us two games in California. And then when we came back, we had three games here with them, and I sang the anthem. We beat them three games. I will never forget Tommy Lasorda. As he was standing there saluting, when I walked out for the third game, he motioned. He took his hand away and motioned me to get off because I was jinxing the team. And of course, we won, and I got a ring. By the way,
oh, you did.
And then 78, of course, the same thing. I went through the opinion, and I loved every minute of it, and got another ring.
Robert, what does it feel like to walk out onto the field at Yankee Stadium for the World Series and belt the anthem out, knowing what Yankee fans think about you? It's got to be incredible.
Well, let me tell you. I was born in Brooklyn. I was a Dodger fan until I was 8 years old. And then they took me, my father and several parents took half a dozen of us to Yankee Stadium. And we sat in the bleachers.
Yeah.
Anyway, Babe Ruth got up. You ready?
Yeah.
And he was hitting the back of the head by the first pitch of this Yankee, of this Cleveland pitcher. His name was Elon Hogsett. I'll never forget it. We were ready to climb over the rails and kill him.
Yeah, you don't hit Babe Ruth in the head, man.
And then the next time up, he got up, of course, and he hit a ball, a home run, into our section. Now, this sounds like a novel, but it isn't. And one of our kids caught the ball.
Wow.
His life was in danger all the way home on a subway. Well, then I became, of course, a Yankee fan. I mean, sitting in this magnificent stadium, this historic place, you know.
Yeah. What is a guy like you from Brooklyn? How did you ever come about becoming one of the biggest opera stars in the world? How does a guy from Brooklyn do that?
Well, I'll tell you, my mother sang. She came from Poland, married my father here, and she was a singer. We never really made it big, but she knew when I was born, I would be an opera singer. That was her goal.
That was her goal.
And I was born on a kitchen table in Williamsburg in Brooklyn on the sixth floor of a tenement house. In those days, they didn't go to hospitals. They would run. And my aunts told me this later when I was 5 seconds old. I started to scream. They said, "Oh, he's hurt. He's hurt. Let's get a doctor. He's hurt." My mother raised her head and said, "He's not hurt. He's singing." And then she took over, and that as I was growing up, and I wanted to be a baseball player, and I played in the streets, but she made sure that I would sing, and she bought a record. My father brought a record of Enrico Caruso then for $12.
Yeah, he was the king then.
And he was making $12 a week or something, I don't know. But anyway, she made him bring the record home, borrowed a Victrola that you wine from a rich uncle, and I kept hearing Caruso.
How old were you when you first went on stage to sing?
At the Met?
Yeah.
Oh, at the Met, but I sang 2 or 3 years previous to that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I did club days. I sang in the Boar Circuit, the Catskill Mountains. You know, I played Straight Man to Red Skelton and all the comics.
But oh, wow.
I was 26 years old.
And what was that like for you?
It was incredible. After 33 years at the Met, which was a record, 800 performances, which was wild. I decided that I wasn't as happy as I was vocally. I could still sing,
mm-hmm.
but it was pressure.
Right.
And I decided to retire from the Metropolitan Opera. I asked Joe DiMaggio when the old timers gave at the Yankee Stadium once why he retired.
Yeah, he was still playing well, although he was getting hurt a little bit.
He was offered $125,000 that time of year, and he played. So he told me the same story. He said, "Bob, I could still hit, I could still." But he says, "I wasn't happy with even putting on my uniform. There was some pressure there. Some of the fastballs were getting by, but." So he said, "I decided to quit on top."
There you are.
And so there you are.
Yep. I have a big a favor to ask you, Mr. Merrill.
Yeah.
Would you be so kind as to sing us "Take Me Out to the Ball Game"?
Well, it's a song that I've been singing now for 26 years.
Yeah.
You know, they play my recording of it at the seventh inning, you know, the stretch inning.
For the stretch. It would be an honor if you'd give us a try at it.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back, for it's root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Robert Merrill, thank you so much for coming on, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Hello, K-Rock. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is this jockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't listen to your radio station. My daughter-in-law called me up today, and she said you had Robert Merrill, the opera singer.
Sure, the great Metropolitan Opera star. Yes.
Yeah, you know, he's not the only guy that can sing.
What do you
Not the only guy ever come out of Brooklyn that can sing.
Wait, you're telling me you can sing?
In my day, I used to do the anthem for the Mets.
You used to do the anthem for the Mets?
Right.
The New York Mets?
No, it was a AAA farm called Binghamton, New York, the Binghamton Mets.
Ah, the Binghamton Mets. Did you do it on a regular basis?
I did it all the time. They always would ask me to do it.
You were their good luck charm.
No, they didn't win a whole lot.
They didn't.
You can't play it. They didn't have the talent.
What is your name, sir?
My name is Bill Markham.
Did you have a distinguished career singing?
I did okay here and there. You know, I never made it, you know. I never performed for any presidents or any dignitaries, anything like that. No, I'm a carpenter.
Now you're a carpenter by trade?
Yeah, well, you know, You ask me about it, I tell you, I'm twice the singer that Merrill fella is.
How can you
But
go...
some guys, you know, they just get the breaks.
You're saying Robert Merrill got a break and you didn't.
Well, that's the only difference that happens to be. You're not the only guy in the world can sing.
Robert Merrill sang for more than 50 years.
I know, that's what I'm saying. A guy catches a break and then all of a sudden everybody's kissing his ass and treating him like royalty.
But you don't buy it. You think you're a better singer.
I know I'm twice the singer he is.
And you sang for the Binghamton Mets.
I sang for the Binghamton Mets, yes, sir.
How many years you do that?
I did it for about 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
And then what, they fire you?
Well, they couldn't afford it. They, you know, at that time they was coming out where they got a tape system, and then they used Kate Smith.
Oh, what would you get for singing the national anthem?
I get a hot dog and a beer.
That's about it, huh?
Yeah, that was a AAA club. You know, like I'm saying, I didn't get the breaks that a Robert Merrill gets. I got to feed my kids. You know, I don't have time to go acting all crazy and dressing up in tights.
How dressing up? You didn't want to do that, huh?
Hell no. I'm not going to have a singer. I'm not some sort of fairy.
Well, how did you get your start singing?
I just, you know, how do you start breathing? I sang all the time when I was a kid.
Really? I just find it so hard to believe, Bill.
Well, I got a beautiful singing voice.
I mean, you've got the thickest New York accent.
My son is Mello. He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah, but have you ever heard that man sing? That man can make the walls.
I'm so sick of hearing about that guy.
All right, hotshot, sing.
I haven't sung in years now. This, you're putting me on the spot here.
I'm putting you on the spot. You're going to go and you're going to slam a guy like Robert Merrill, and you're telling me how you sang the national anthem.
You're damn straight I sang the national anthem.
Yeah, okay.
And now you got to give me a second to get a voice here.
All right, limber up a little bit then, if that's what you got
to
do.
You want me to do the anthem?
Yeah, well, you get through it as far as you can remember the words.
All right, hold on.
Oh, say can you see?
I not bad.
Well, for Christ's sake, what do you want? I tell you, that's twice the singer he is.
You know,
beat the crap out of that. Take me out to the ball game. What the hell is that? The guy's supposed to be an opera singer.
Yeah, but
then he talks, sings your song. Get out of here. You're still kissing his ass.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good, it makes the Pope want to sin. They'll fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
on Locked Up Abroad. Two unwitting men sign a shady employment contract with a mysterious man known as Beasley. Two decades later, they're still living with the consequences. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Show started early before the mics were on.
He's off. It's just he can't say, hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us.
Randy's never seen it, but Randy's like, what, he's really like that?
Yeah, it's the truth.
Not a gag.
It's not a gag.
Hey, Randy?
Well, he can't hear you because he doesn't have headphones
on. Here you go, Randy.
Yeah, you ain't using
them. Shut up, man. Will you stop with your antagonistic ways?
Dave, you're shaking.
Hey, Randy, I appreciate this, but can I get this on a flash drive? I don't know what to do with this thing.
It's a CD.
A what?
He makes CDs. That's what he makes.
That's the way I prefer them.
Compact disc.
That's the way you can hold it in your hand. You know it's tangible.
That's okay. I was at a lady's house who does a lot of embroidery, and in her closet she had four unopened boxes of floppy disk.
Well, we've
probably the last ones in the world.
Get this on iTunes. What do you say, Dave?
Oh, bro, I got a feeling. I got a hit on my hands.
All right, today we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Way ahead.
Today is a very big, big day. It is the world premiere of
some work by Randy Bailey and Mark Haney.
Will you stop it?
Stop it!
It is Dave's original song, the song that is finally going to take him over the top and make him a rock star.
Is this his opus?
I hope Stan, not.
I can't speak for the artist on that.
How many artists' first song and possibly only song,
last song.
Makes
last
it to the top like song. This one can?
A lot. They're called one-hit wonders.
We took...
I take it.
We took Dave into the studio.
And covered his ass.
And we...
Are you kidding me? I'm sorry, Mark. This guy over here is just...
You've already been talked to about your in-house voice level.
We have outside voice, inside voice.
Well, they're
voice.
Not here today, so it doesn't matter.
So get us loud. We're the only ones here.
We're the only ones working today, we found out, in the entire corporation. But... Dave, when did what year did you write this song?
I wrote this song in 73. I believe I started writing it at your house actually in 2002.
So this is a song it's been kicking around for a while, and you had the time to really craft and perfect this song.
Absolutely, some adjustments, but you know, I went through those years where I didn't play because I got caught on fire. Remember, and I had to get I had to get my hands back in the groove.
Yeah, and then your guitars were stolen,
and everything's.
You stole Haney's.
Are you kidding me? Why do you want to inject something like that?
I'm just sitting here, I'm listening.
Anyways, so yes, Mark, it's been in the craft for quite a while. Stan, if you understood musicianship, you'd understand craftsmanship. So, it's taken some time, but
craft.
We've done
FT.
Okay.
Craft.
We did one recording.
You're hearing the producer Randy Bailey in the background repeatedly saying crap.
I said craft.
Meanwhile, Jerry Garcia said, I can play with half a finger. What's your excuse?
Song, Mark, in Tommy's studio, where we just did a rough recording many years ago.
Yeah.
Just to lay it down so we had it, because we didn't want to forget it, you know?
Yeah, we didn't want to forget a gem like that.
Because there's a couple of changes in the song, and you want to make sure you...
Yep, absolutely, you had it down. And finally, after, I don't know, you know, it's been over 20 years, almost 20 years, and we're here.
Well, Randy Bailey produced the song. He arranged for the studio time.
Charlie Lukes, good friend. He's main man.
And Randy, I know that you spoke to me and wanted to see Dave's dream come true of getting a true professional recording.
Well, I believe every person on this earth, especially on this great holiday, has a purpose in life, and this could be.
And you and I discussed that. I don't see a path forward for Dave as far as an occupation other than rock star.
No, this is his path. This is his golden light. This is his Good Friday.
Were you surprised by anything when we when Dave arrived at the
how
studio.
How much fill we had to do while
I was
drinking
shocked
Fireball.
At how pure gold he was.
Because I know you were nervous and you wanted to have rehearsals, and I told you not to worry about it. And
that's right. And then when I heard Dave and his chops and his passion, I just said,
the passion.
You're killing our
passion.
Audience here.
It was the passion of Dave.
Would you say it's a natural born gift?
It's the passion of Dave.
It's passion.
Now, Stan, I obviously this is going to just dominate the show today.
96.1 K-Rock presents The Dave Show. Here's Dave.
All right.
Yeah, right. Oh, thank you.
So, I was thinking, Dave, in keeping with old school rock radio, the way that new songs that you thought were really going to make it were introduced to the audience.
Right.
Was on a segment that used to be called Rock Wars.
Yeah, I remember that.
And you'd take or crank it.
Exactly.
Rip the knob off.
And I don't want to do a yank it or crank it.
Kick it or
D-Train, please. This is Dave's special day.
It's Dave's day. Dave doesn't deserve a day.
Listen,
but this is Dave's day.
Why does he not deserve a day?
Listen, what are we going to listen to?
No, what I was going to say
Haney's trying to explain what we're going to do
with
this.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So calm your jets down. Yes, Haney, what are we going to do? Kind of a rock war?
Yeah, thank you, Stan. I'm trying to make this work, Dave. That's all.
I'm sorry, sir.
Boob.
If you do a smash it or trash it, it's too easy for the haters to just say, I don't like that.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to send in.
When you have to think about it objectively, one song versus another, then I think you get a more accurate representation.
Right.
And you want to make sure that it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So what song do you think would be fair to put Dave's song up against? And the thing is, Stan has heard the song. Dave has not heard the song.
Yeah.
Dave recorded it, but he's not heard the finished product.
No,
you can
not.
Put it up against virtually anything.
Is there anything you'd like to see it go up against?
I don't know. I have to think about that.
All right, you think about
it. Maybe by 3 o'clock I'll have an answer.
Right on.
If we're going to stay with a theme, why not put it up against Bitchin' Camaro?
That's a valid idea. Yep. We'll see what we come up with, but I think no matter what the opposition ends up being,
I'd pick Liberace over Dave.
I think at 3 o'clock,
unreal.
We should do Rock Wars.
Sounds good.
I think we should make it fair.
Whatever you want to do.
We can't
bud.
Go and put you up against Metallica or Zeppelin or something like that.
Well, then what are we going to put him up against?
Chance.
Something fair. You keep it in the weight class.
Keep it in the
Wheels
weight
on the
class.
Bus go round and round.
Well, let me go and see if anybody, in the neighborhood's got a cassette tape that they made in their garage.
Thanks a lot.
Not about you. Why are you being so sensitive? Don't you see because the sign above the door?
Because that would.
I think we got some of that real blood.
Because that would reflect on the recording quality. Your problem is not with the recording quality
Absolutely
or the instrumentation.
Not.
Your problem
Absolutely.
Is quite simply with Dave personally.
Yes.
Now, did you ask Randy if he can take Stan into the studio to cover the song?
Yeah, I'll cover it.
Yeah, we can do that.
I'd cover it.
Did you hear him talking about that?
Yeah, I'll cover it.
Yeah.
You got
Stan
all the
believes
music tracks, don't you?
Dave,
right.
We'll
Stan
bring you a karaoke version right here.
Stan believes that you did nothing with this song and that he could go into the studio and lay down a superior vocal track to what you laid down.
Really?
Yeah.
And that therefore there'd be no need for Dave on the song.
Yeah, well,
so instead of like old school drug.
Every once in a while, we get an email or a phone call from a listener accusing us of being in a bad mood. It's a simple misunderstanding, really. This is our good mood. The bad mood is, unairable. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Show number 5,995. But then again, who's counting? Certainly nobody here. coming up on the show today,
what a big day it is.
We'll have open phones, prize blowout. We'll open up the phones. Well,
we'll have the phones open when
and we'll be doing
El Camino plays.
We'll be doing an old-fashioned rock war coming up in about a half hour.
Why don't you guys put up the Aztec death whistle that you guys played yesterday? I bet more listeners will cringe at the water puss posing as a rock star.
What did they call him?
Water puss.
Nobody calls him that.
No.
A guy called you a puss, Dave.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah,
you know what that is, man?
What's that?
Jealousy.
No, it ain't. Nobody, trust me. I know in this room and people listening, nobody's jealous.
Well, they're going to be jealous when they hear this song.
After three?
Yep.
They're going to be jealous of your guitar playing.
No, they're going to go.
They're going to be jealous of Randy Bailey pounding the skins.
You are
and
just...
how, what a professional studio that was recorded at. Top flight. I'll say that right
Absolutely.
Now. I've heard it. Top flight.
Oh, thank you.
No, the studio.
Oh.
I understand also, and Haney only saw one, but they plied you with, you know.
What?
Booze, your favorite. And I guess you kept drinking.
No, I really did not.
I could not believe that you did a fireball in front of
no,
me.
No, I did not.
You did that. Yes, you did.
No. Yeah, that, yes.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
not
that's
saying.
Okay. I had
no,
one
no,
fireball
I'm not disagreeing there.
Grab bag.
That's right.
Grab bag brought to you by.
I did. I don't. Why would you do a fireball in
because
front of me?
Because he's a stoop.
No, you know how nervous I was. Mm-hmm. Let's.
Why
do the
would
grab
you call
bag.
The program director
That's,
showing off for your
I'm
friends?
I'm not showing off, man.
Late at night, Tim.
Oh,
guy's trying to watch his son play ball, and you're calling him up,
Stan,
and showing off.
Stan, it is a big day. It's a celebration of Dave.
If you've read the news, Facebook, they're stealing all your information. They're
bastards.
Yeah, and if you're like Dave, and they shut down your account,
his account was it's under investigation.
What
yeah.
is one to do in this age of Facebook stealing? Well, here's an answer for you.
Are you worried about Facebook abusing your personal information? Are you afraid Facebook no longer respects your privacy? Then come on back to MySpace. At MySpace.com, you can socialize with friends or find interesting musicians. Find one-of-a-kind comedians.
Hey, everybody, I call this comedy club in my living room. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And read stories of things you already heard about 3 days ago. So sign up now with MySpace. Here's a recent message.
Hey, I'm Tom. I'm so lonely. Is anyone else out there? Anyone? I'm not weird. Nothing creepy. I'm just looking for a friend.
Join Tom and dozens more who are on MySpace now. And when you scroll down and see sign in with Facebook, just skip that step. MySpace.com. You can trust your personal stuff with us because nobody's looking.
Uh-huh.
All right. You'll hear it. There's a video online of a drunk guy jabbering in the passenger seat of a moving car. And suddenly the driver hits the brakes and the guy's head slams into the windshield. Looks like he broke it with his head, did he? Well, it hit hard enough.
And he wants to give me rest of it on the web as well. Oh.
The old quick break trick. This is so bad. I heard the sports guys across the hall talking about it. It's true. The Los Angeles Rams have just hired two male cheerleaders.
Oh, say it isn't so.
Not what? The kind that would hoist the girls up with the big megaphones. No.
Gays?
High-stepping, let's dance with the pom-poms.
That is unacceptable.
Cheerleaders.
Unacceptable.
It's all about being fair.
Where are you, Pete Rozelle?
They are the first ones in NFL history. And they were on Good Morning America yesterday. Rah-rah.
You know, I was at a Laker game the Wednesday prior, and I was watching the team, the Laker girls, And I was asking myself, why can't I be down there? I've choreographed for girls who dance on pro teams. I've danced with girls on various pro teams. So I just thought, why not me? Like, why can't I do this? So I called my friend Raquel and I asked her when auditions were for the Rams. And she told me Sunday and I showed up and we're here.
Yeah, they're unlike anything I've ever been to. I'm used to getting a call after shortly or an email or not getting a call or an email. This one was about 3 weeks long and we had a bunch of rehearsals in between and an extensive interview process. But it was really humbling and amazing to be invited every time you came back to pinch yourself and be on your A game. So high emotions, but it was worth it.
Rah, rah. I have scruples, and I will ask D-Train because he can see it. The second text down is so hard hitting that even I, for the sake of other people, for the sake of this person that texted, and for the sake of Dave, I would not read. Now, I've read some texts that are horrible. This one is so bad, and there's not a cuss word in it. And I will not read that. And I don't want. I don't. You read it either.
Okay.
That's a heavy one.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Well, what is it?
It's a text about a guy who's been through hell
hard
and back.
Hard times.
Yeah, and he wouldn't trade places with Dave.
Well, there's only room for one Dave. And all these people, you better get your shots in now.
Yep, get them in now.
Because after 3 o'clock, you're going to be wishing that you were Dave's close personal friend because he is about to drop a hit record.
Yep.
You're damn right.
You got to be excited.
This got to be his best moment for you.
I am super pumped, bro.
This is bigger than Christmas morning.
No, yeah, no.
And this is going multimedia, too.
Yeah.
Yep, placeholder video
damn
and the whole
right.
deal.
Yep. Yeah, worldwide, baby.
The Marlins, Miami Marlins, are one of the worst teams in baseball.
Isn't that by design?
Yes. The Cubs are one of the elite teams in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball started yesterday. The Cubs-Marlins game was the first one to clock in, meaning they started first. And the first pitch by the Marlins was thrown. One pitch, first game of the season, and this will be a reflection of how it's going to be.
Ian Happ hit 7 home runs in spring training, 5 of them leading off the game. I expect him to take a pretty healthy cut here if he gets a juicy-looking first-pitch fastball from Urania.
Urania to Happ, and a drive to right.
Go, baby!
What were you saying, Jenny?
Yes, sir!
Gone!
That's unbelievable.
Can they forfeit the season?
The season has begun.
It is the first time.
Up, that manager's going out to the pitcher's mound, wants to talk to the... the Marlins have forfeited the season.
First time in 32 years of opening days that has ever happened.
You know what? It's a new year. I'm feeling... There we go.
Roseanne, they wanted to know, hey, Roseanne, is it true you got a call from President Trump after the show aired? She was on ABC's Good Morning America, and she said, yep, he called me.
Well, it was pretty exciting, I'll tell you that much. They said, hold please for the President of the United States of America. And, that was about the most exciting thing ever. And it was... You know, just very, very sweet of him to congratulate us. We just kind of had a private conversation, but, you know, we talked about a lot of things. And, he's just happy for me. I've known him for many years, and he's done a lot of nice things for me over the years. And so it was just a friendly conversation about working and, television and ratings. He really understands ratings and how they measure things, and that's kind of been an interest of mine, too, for a long time.
Oh, I wish he'd call us and explain what the hell's going on.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I heard this is the number to text for the live comedy show starting at 3.
Dave, I know you're getting upset.
No, I'm actually not. Because you know why all these people are going to
They haven't heard it.
No, they don't know what they're in for.
They don't know that the world is changing.
Rapidly.
And if it post 3 o'clock, yeah. It'll be a different world.
Oh, yeah. The atomic bomb.
And then...
Yeah, a bomb.
And then...
Shut up, Stan.
You're finally going to get the respect you're due.
You're damn right, Haney. You're damn right. A lot of work went into
this. You know
what?
I'm worried.
And the offers are going to start coming in.
You're setting the bar so high for the poor boy. Let's just see
All right,
if we can
well,
get...
I don't want to do that.
I think it's for the best.
I don't want to take anything away from the brilliance of this
moment.
But
you don't want to set the bar high. You know, it hasn't been played yet to the public.
That's true. I don't want him to feel bad. Because people are being mean.
I want to... do this. I do this from time to time. This has hit an all new low, and trust me, I don't hear any of it. Haney, you're the musician here. You tell me if you hear this. A guy you never heard of says Ariana Grande stole the song Side to Side from him.
Not a fan.
And he's suing her.
Well, I hope he wins. She's anti-American.
Nobody is buying his lawsuit, but as I like to do and as I like to say, you be the judge.
So we're going to have two songs that sound like cats scratching a chalkboard.
The guy that is suing her is Christopher R. O'Connor, and his song was J5, J6, or T6. I don't even know what the hell to name it.
Omaha.
J5T6.
Omaha.
All right, here's her hit, if you call it that, Side to Side. This is her.
Well, she's stealing some reggae beat, that's for sure. You got me walking side to side. I've been there all night. She doesn't sing, it's whining.
Yeah, I know. This guy says she stole his song.
Yeah. What the? Give that man $1,000,005.
If you're still looking for a competitive tune for Dave, I have auto recordings of a sick infant baby. Oh, let me tell you, people, the world is about to change.
Mm-hmm. You're damn right, Stan.
I'm getting behind this song.
You know what?
Thank you.
They're all going to have egg on their face
sure
when that
are.
Song starts to play.
Let me tell you something. This thing is going to be picked up. Other radio stations around the country are going to hear it, and they're going to say they want their hands on it. This is the launching pad of a rock star.
We got to get Zito behind it.
Yeah, heavy.
Zito has known you a long time.
Yeah, listen, people are going to want more, Stan.
How long have you known Jeff?
Because you've
long time. Almost 20 years.
Southwest Florida, we're always here to help. But unfortunately, there's actually very little we can do. Sorry. Just try not to focus on the pain. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Open phones prize blowout, but we're handling it a little differently today. We're going to be taking your phone calls for the full 3 o'clock hour, both segments, but it's going to be a little bit of rock wars because we're about ready to debut one of the best rock and roll songs you've heard in a long, long time.
You know, the critics got some advanced copies.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing things like the rebirth of rock.
Yeah, sure. Text, Absolute Law text, every time there's a big buildup to a new song, it's always a disappointment. It's always sucks.
Not this time.
Yeah, not this time. I'm. You know what? I've changed my mind, Dave. Have I'm you? Behind you 100%. I hope this song kicks ass.
We are making rock history today.
Damn right. Damn right, man. Jeez. Long time in the making, this song was.
Whatever.
It really was.
All right, stop bragging about it. And we ready to play it?
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go old school on this. And when they would break a new rock song.
Like the one that Dave's got here.
Brand new, never heard.
Yeah.
What they'd do is they'd have a rock war.
Yeah.
Where they would put the new song up against a more established song.
Right.
And then take phone calls.
Yeah.
To let the audience vote
yeah.
on which song wins that rock war.
Right.
And what you want to do is, you don't want them exactly the same, but you want them in
similar.
The same ballpark.
Yeah, a lot of drop D.
For instance, this is Dave's debut song.
Right.
So you don't want to put him up against a Metallica or a Led Zeppelin.
What about somebody else's, an established, as you said, similar, but their first song? Because a lot of times bands didn't come into their own until they established themselves for a while. That first song a lot of times is different than what they became.
I've taken everybody's input, and I think I know the proper challenger for Dave. So let's get the rock war underway.
Yeah.
Dave, would you like to introduce your own song?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You would. This, yeah.
Because Dave is the artist here.
Let me tell you right now, I've heard it.
Yeah.
The production is phenomenal on this song. Haney on guitar shines.
Now,
is pounding those skins.
Now, I'm on lead guitar. Dave handles the rhythm.
Yeah, well,
and vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Everybody, here we were you. This is my second
year. It's your time. It's every Friday.
All right, here
time.
We go. We're about to change the world, and we're going to drop it down with the El Camino. Stan, hit it.
The comments.
Rock history has been made, Dave.
Congratulations, Haney.
Thank you.
Wow. What do you think? That's the first time Dave's heard the
that's
mix.
That's the first time I've heard the mix.
I'm not going to say anything.
But
you want to read them?
That was pretty fun. That was catchy.
Yeah,
oh, that worked out good.
My backseat, baby.
Oh man, that was rad.
D-tray.
Yeah, I'm trying to clean them up a little bit.
Clean them up.
Oh man, really?
Probably just so happy they're tripping over themselves.
Yeah. Can we do an isolated vocals and just delete it? Dave's, where'd it go? I'm getting so many of them, they're bouncing around. Hey, Dave, there's no backseat in an El Camino, you dumbass.
Everything's great, except the vocals.
That. Ears bleeding, thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
That's the idea, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I can give two S's about Dave the Waterman, but Mark Haney is amazing on that guitar.
No.
It's what
of
it
course
says.
He is. Of course he is.
Dave's song would make even the 80s band Striper doubt Jesus. The lyrics are genius.
The guitar part is good.
Mm, thank you.
Oh, I just threw up.
John McCain couldn't have tolerated that.
Can we get an instrumental of this?
The afterbirth of rock right here.
All right.
Sounds like he ruined a perfectly good guitar track by singing over top of it. Shut the F up, Dave.
Now,
man, there is just
that is
tons
wonderful.
Of comments.
And
that's
the
wonderful.
Comments can keep coming
oh,
in.
Oh, no, turn it off.
Oh, but, this is great,
but
man.
We have got a rock war to do.
That's not singing, that's yelling.
Everything Sam. But the vocals is great.
So you have now heard Dave's El Camino.
Yes.
And we've got to...
Dave's dad has an El Camino?
We have to see if which song is better.
Okay.
Dave's song.
Yes.
Or our challenger.
Okay.
I don't know, it's a tough one. I don't know who's better.
El Crapo. Like you, Dave.
Appreciate it, man.
Vocals better than the water puss.
Nobody calls him now.
Nope.
Here's a positive. Great job, Dave. Where can I buy it?
So there you go. There's your challenger. El Camino versus Good Lovin' Gone Bad by Kildo.
277-9600. 277-9600. A lot of texts coming in. You know what? Everybody out there, you want to... Dave's right here.
Good old rock
war. Let's man up and call him and tell him to his face here.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
You know? Yeah, a lot of people can write stuff, but maybe you don't have the guts to tell
them
to his face.
The testicular fortitude.
Yeah, 277-9600.
That was awesome, Dave.
I'll tell you, Haney.
Bro, I got to tell you, Mark.
You sounded great on that, Haney.
Mark, I can't thank you enough, man. That was a lot.
I don't get out much, but when my bra says, hey... Can you help me?
We got some rock to do.
All right, let's take these cold.
What?
Cold.
You got to hear from your new fans.
Oh, yeah.
He's picking them up.
So you're telling me people can speak personally to the artist of El Camino.
Yes.
He's in studio right now.
Yeah. Future shows.
You got to get used to it.
Oh, dude, I know, bro.
Ahoy, who's this?
Dan, ahoy, Hayden.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good.
Ahoy the water puss. You guys are nuts. That was great.
All right.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, water puss. Don't listen to these guys. Don't let them bring you down.
Puss.
Dave Lombardo is the best drummer ever.
Who's the best drummer? It ain't him drumming.
No, man, I'm playing rhythm guitar, bro. But, yeah. Hey, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much.
And you're the singer and the songwriter.
Yeah, I mean...
You can tell him to his face here. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan. Hey, this is Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I think Dave did an excellent job there.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yep. This is really stroking your ego.
No, it's not, Stan. I appreciate it.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I want to hear it again.
Can we do that, Stan?
Sure, go to stanhaney.com. You can listen to it at your leisure.
All right, well.
D-Train doesn't want to hear it. But
oh, come on,
no,
D-Train.
I kind of agree with him, but we'll keep it down. We'll keep it low.
No, you can't. You can't play that low.
No, this has got to be cranked up. Get those woofers maxed in your car right now. Turn the knob. Rip the knob off, baby.
A lot of click, click, click.
6x9, Rock.
Ahoy, who's this?
Oh.
Ahoy. Hey, all right. You don't want to talk?
Don't talk.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, guys, this is John. How are you?
John, you like it, don't you?
You know what? I'm not a huge fan of the Watermen in general, because he reminds me of my brother. But I thought the song was pretty darn good, to be honest with you. I was expecting a lot worse, so kudos, Dave.
Hey, bro, thank you. Thank you very much.
Expecting worse. That's a good review.
Guess the haters can't tell it to his face. Who's the puss?
You might want to think about that for the album cover. Dot, dot, dot. Expecting worse.
Yeah, right?
I expected worse.
The album title.
Yep.
I expected worse.
Yep.
That's the name of the album. Beautiful, beautiful, man.
Guitar and drums on Dave's song gets my vote.
Well, you can't separate them. It's all one thing.
Ahoy, yeah, who's this?
It's a unit, man.
Ahoy.
It's Darren.
Hey, Don.
How you doing?
Good.
You got something to say?
Yeah, I think that Water Push should open up for Fozzy. Maybe Zito could help him out.
Well, he's known Zito a long time.
Yeah, I'm sure. And maybe get a few of his friends backstage.
Oh.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Captain Rob. I just wanted to say, awesome job, Dave.
Hey, thanks, brother. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, man. Hey.
Did he hang up?
Hold on. There's another one that likes your song. Dave's song isn't bad. Signed, Brandon from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate that, man.
Of course, home of the Lowell Lock Monsters.
Yep. Ahoy, who's this?
Oh, hey, it's Matt. I got a comment and a question.
All right.
I thought the song was pretty good, actually, for what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And what was that one line? You have a low self-esteem getting the best of my El Camino or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Your self-esteem is really low. It's time to ride in the El Camino.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
I know.
Fires,
dude, brother, hey, man, it's what I do, you know?
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I knew it.
It takes
a village.
So you really didn't write this?
Yes, he did.
No, I wrote all the song. We were sitting at the house and we said, you know, we need another hook. We need another hook.
Thank you, Haney.
And we needed another hook, so me and Haney were sitting there, and I had my book out, which I've got a lot of
stuff written
down.
But, Stan, you know he's been playing this song for many, many years.
Yes.
You've heard this song before.
Oh, yeah, I've heard it.
But not
Trust
like
me.
This.
No,
because it's finally people are working around it. Haters can't get through on the damn phones. Suck it, Dave.
Thank you, Texter.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Matt and Lehigh. How
hey,
you
Matt.
Doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Sounded pretty good. A little bit too much fluff on Dave's part with the little screens and all.
Yeah.
I wonder what the backup song is going to be. El Rancho?
El Ranchero, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The El Ranchero. You should think about that, Dave. They expect it. The El Ranchero.
What the...
Don't you know what an El Ranchero is?
Stan. Yeah.
I don't think I know.
It's the Ford Ranchero.
The difference between the Ranchero and the Camino.
There's no back seat in it.
No, I don't understand.
Ahoy,
how
who's
that
this?
Ahoy. Ahoy.
Hi, who's this?
This is Elaine. I'm calling about Dave's song.
Yes.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, you wanna date him?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Elaine.
No, that's okay.
I appreciate that, but I appreciate the
question. He wasn't asking her to date him. He just liked her to enjoy the song.
I thought all rock stars want that.
No, Dave, the backseat thing, what that is you keep a pipe behind your seat in case you run into trouble.
Damn
that's
right.
Your backseat, baby.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
so that's
know.
How you answer that question.
Yeah.
Normally, this wouldn't be on the air, but since we're among friends, I'll do that. But in the future, if you're at another station or on TV and somebody asks you, that is on purpose.
Yeah.
My backseat baby is a length of pipe I keep back there
because
I'm tough.
Yeah,
out of all the
songs
I have ever heard, Dave the Waterman song is one of them. Based on what I heard, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard. Looking forward to the extended remix without Dave. Woo!
That'll never happen.
There is no El Camino without Dave.
Dave is a living, breathing example of that there is no such thing as bad publicity.
Absolutely.
You believe that?
There is no such thing as bad publicity.
I don't like bad publicity.
No, I mean, I don't seek it.
Can I take a phone call?
Sure, bud.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Ronnie from Naples.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, tell Dave that his song sounded like two dead cats trying to fight over a dead squirrel.
Wow, that's brilliant. Did you think that
two
up on your
dead
own?
Dead cats fighting over a dead squirrel.
Oh, ahoy.
What a battle.
Ahoy.
Yeah.
This is Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Who's that sunny guy you keep talking about you want in the back of El Camino?
Who's the sunny guy you keep talking about you want in the back of your El Camino?
It's Sally.
Oh, I thought it was Sunny. I thought it was a guy.
That's what you're saying, Stan?
That's what he's saying.
Well, you're obviously
sunny.
Agreeing with the
caller.
I thought he said
like.
Sully.
Yeah, it sounded like Sully Sullenberger.
Does it?
Yeah, you want to fly around with a pilot?
Well, looks like I got to get back to the studio.
Woo!
Woo!
Ahoy.
You're telling me that's not awesome?
I had to throw that in
guys.
There.
Hey, ahoy.
Ahoy.
Hey, how you guys doing? I wanted to call in about the song sounded good, but at first for a minute I thought that was like Ric Flair doing the woo!
Oh, no.
No, Ric Flair stole that from Dave.
Yeah, yep.
Facts are facts.
Just like Matthew McConaughey took my all right.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back more.
And
your
you're such
calls.
A gentleman, you'd never sue them.
No, I'm not going to look for any royalties.
More of your phone calls about Dave and other things. We're the Stan and Haney Show.
Treat like a drug. Treat like the boy in my El Camino. Treat like a drink.
I agree with that one.
You don't know what singing is, brother.
Yeah!
Hey, Nate!
Come on, Mark!
Okay.
Howard Stern.
All right, well, you get a hold of that Stan and Haney tape.
Where would then send it to?
Me!
Stan and Haney.
On 96 K Rock.
Stan and Haney, your phone calls, welcome, 277-9600.
History-making day. Wow.
96K-Rock presents Fozzy, Chris Jericho's band. April 19th, going to be at the Buddha in Fort Myers. Advance tickets, $5. $7 at the door. There is, like, I think, three or four pairs of VIP tickets left. They're $30 and on sale now at 96krock.com and on K-Rock's Facebook page. VIP tickets include admission to the show, a K-Rock t-shirt, two drinks, an autographed Fozzy CD. Again, tickets are very limited for the VIP. If you want to go to 96krock.com, get them before they sell out. For all I know, they could already be sold out. Absolute Law text line. They're coming in. We're going to take your phone calls as well.
Dave, I will state now that you may very well become a national hero.
That would be great.
Your voice could be our counterweapon to North Korea.
Oh.
So, now that Dave is a performer, does that give him permission to scamper outside and play during the breaks instead of staying in the studio and learning from D-Train so he can take a well-deserved vacation?
Sir, you're working under the assumption that he actually does stick around during breaks to learn something.
He doesn't.
No. You haven't in a while, have you?
No, but I've got my audition on my laptop now, so I'm able to go home and get it all, you know what I'm saying, where I'm able to...
Your homework.
Well, I'm able to get it home and get it dialed in so that he can have his vacation.
From Facebook, Joe says, dude, I like it, man. Congrats, Dave.
Oh, that's right. Nice.
Tim said Cheech and Chong's version was better.
Cheech and Chong.
Is there?
I looked. I couldn't find any.
There is not a Cheech and Chong
is
version.
There?
Is
no,
there?
Did you steal it from Cheech and Chong?
No, bro.
No, but I did find this from 2015.
What? Hold it. What's from 2015? Let me get you on here.
Ready?
Go ahead. Yeah, roll them. Why isn't it not playing?
I don't know. You didn't bring me up.
You are on.
It's playing.
Yeah, I don't hear it.
No, you know what it is? The AC went off, and so my sound card kicked off again.
Oh.
Well, we do need air. Okay.
Well, when you find whatever you found, let me know.
Sorry about that, but, you know, the air conditioning's got to take priority.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, you got it? Okay. Yeah. And so you found this.
I found this from 2015.
Okay, go ahead, go.
Let's have a party in my El Camino.
Name of the song?
Yeah.
El Camino.
Doesn't sound anything like what I did.
Logan, Mice, Miz, and IZ.
And if that's the case, and that's 2015, I've got...
Yeah, what's going on here? Cheech and Chong and...
I don't get the Cheech and Chong.
No, me neither. Yeah. But I will say this, if that's the case, and this is 2015, I've got audio of me recording El Camino back in 2002.
We don't know when this guy recorded El Camino.
Yeah, this is just when it was posted on YouTube.
Yeah.
So...
El Camino.
Wow, that's shocking. That's some disturbing stuff.
Now, I wonder if...
Ahoy, caller. Yes, ahoy. No, not there. Go ahead, Haney.
Can we bring that down?
Yeah.
The only Cheech and Chong I can think of that might be anywhere close to that, if this is what he's referring to...
Yeah. Sounds a lot like a song we just played. Just done with a keyboard.
Took a walk to the corner store just to buy a loaf of bread and a box of s'mores. I pulled a guy in a yellow van, signing gold badge flashing in his hand. He said,
all right, all you mojados down here, I want y'all to hit the floor.
Was that it?
Is that it? Is that where you stole it from?
I think the other one's
I didn't steal anything, Stan.
Why are you saying Stan?
Because
I'm not. I don't know the song.
You just asked me if that's where I stole it from.
Well, where and did
I
you said, steal it
and
from?
I don't think he stole it.
And I'm addressing you, Stan, and saying, no, I did not steal that song.
Carrie says, congrats, Dave. I love it for sure.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
Dave's singing voice is a lot like his Shut Up Stan voice.
Kyle says on Facebook, wow, not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's what not as bad.
That's another vote, you know, not as bad.
Not as bad as you
as I expected.
Yeah. Well, Glenn said, good job, Dave. I nominate you for the first one to be inducted to the K-Rock Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's sweet, isn't it?
I like it. Dave the Waterman's a Chevy fan and would never sing about a Ford.
Yeah, really?
For off-road.
Ahoy, drinking. Who's this?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
How Dave's always liked to do these challenges, like one-chip challenges.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. He won't back down.
You and Haney might be old enough to remember. Remember when 60s and 70s, a new product will come out and they send you a free sample in the mail?
Yeah.
I got one in NyQuil, never been opened, still in a little shipping cart.
Hold on, what
his phone's breaking up.
What would you get in the mail?
NyQuil?
NyQuil, yeah.
Oh, I don't want him to do NyQuil. He's a boozer now.
NyQuil.
You know, you don't want to do NyQuil.
You've drank NyQuil before.
Yeah, that's the next level.
No, I think he's talking about robo-tripping.
What's that?
Yeah, what is that?
Drinking robo-tripping.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, robo-tripping.
What does that do?
I don't want to give any ideas out and have anybody...
But what does it do?
You've done it, right?
Yeah, I tried it.
What happens?
You trip balls.
Yeah, pretty much.
Off Tussin?
I don't know. I don't know.
Not since they took the codeine out.
They're doing the 90s. I don't know about
that. Yeah, they're in the 90s. Early 90s. Very early.
You Tussinin'?
No, man.
277.
I know that'll...
MC Chris sung about it.
I know that'll fix just about anything, though.
Yeah, Tussin?
Yep.
277-96.
If you got a bottle of Tussin and a tube of Neosporin, there's no need to die.
All right. I hope, Dave, you know, for your sake, you know what?
Yes, sir.
For your sake, that at some point in time, you didn't copy the song.
I have not copied the song, Stan.
Now, some of your biggest bands of all time were inspired. We were talking about how many bands were inspired by Chuck Berry songs.
Right. Chuck Berry, Howlin' Wolf, yep, Muddy Waters, yep, and the Everly Brothers.
Yes, sir. Were you inspired by somebody? Did you get inspiration to do that?
In the punk and metal world, yeah, there's a lot of bands I like. Absolutely.
How would you
describe
How would you describe your style, Dave?
Bro, I just like to try to lay down heavy rhythms and just get a good groove, and I like good hooks and just
Ahoy,
you know.
Gentlemen. This is your pal Billy Midget here. It would appear Haney has found the perfect vehicle for Dave, pun intended. Any truth to the rumor that Lehigh has declared April 20th as El Camino Day? Dave will be the Grand Marshal leading the El Caminos as they bounce through town.
Well, I had a great idea for his video for the song.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, and speaking of that,
a lot of compliments on Facebook, Dave.
It's on Facebook. It's on his songs on YouTube now.
You can download the actual song directly off stanandhaney.com on the homepage.
Like
right
on.
That's
a hell of a vehicle.
It's on Twitter.
It's everywhere.
Thanks, bro.
You want it, you got it.
Worldwide, yeah, baby.
So you can celebrate Easter weekend with Dave the Waterman's new hit song.
Yep. Get song.
Maybe this weekend on the podcast, Dave will take you behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah, that'll be good. And then you'll find out that, you know,
are
so
you
many
saying,
other,
will you
so many
interview
people
him?
Did such work.
It's his show as much as it is mine.
No, yeah, it's not. Absolutely. It's the D-Train show.
Yeah.
He's got top billing.
I thought it was the D-Train show. It used to be the Dave show and Woo Time, and now it's the D-Train show.
Yeah.
If that's what you want, Dave,
D-N-W.
I can drop your name off that real quick.
Ah, Stan, I have a 1970 El Camino.
Nice.
Maybe Dave can use it in his new rock video.
We're looking for one.
Well, here's what I think you should do for the video is, first, get an El Camino. Secondly,
I had one, it got totaled.
Go to the ice factory and have the bed of the El Camino filled with ice. Then go to the beer place and just have the whole bed filled with beers. Then pull into Suncoast Estates
and you'll
be like the Pied Piper and just film you as people are following the El Camino. You know, you do about, 1 mile an hour.
Creeping.
Yep.
Super cheapest beer we can find.
I'm going to prove to everybody that you did not steal that song from
anyone.
I don't think he stole that song.
No, I did not steal that song, man. I don't even know it.
Because there was somebody that said, hey, do what people do when they cheat on the game that you do with music. Hit Shazam and see when if anything comes up. So you want to do that?
I would love to do that.
Oh, so you're that confident in
it? I am damn confident.
Definitely nothing intentional.
Nothing in... Could there be some unintentional copy?
Well, he wouldn't know.
There's nothing that I...
If it's unintentional, he wouldn't know about it.
Did you answer this for me? Because you have a nice lead guitar section in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you write that? Did you write that? Is that you with your stuff? Not direction from him or...
No, I mean, it's just licks.
And that's you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's all I wanted to know. Should we try this with the Shazam? I got to turn the microphones off.
Let's give it a shot, man.
I mean, it's not, you know, when you do a rock song, it's not like you have charts written out.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like Dave said, I want you to do this, and this. Dave just said, Haney, go in there and rock, man.
Damn right. Feel it, baby.
Hold on, let me turn his song on, and then I will Shazam it.
Let's get some, Rob. I got to turn these down.
What's the verdict?
Dave.
All right, let's hear it.
What
did it pop up with?
It is a direct ripoff of a song called Today's Mortgage Rate. Oh, no, that's an ad.
Today's mortgage rate.
Baby, let's apply for today's mortgage rate.
No,
timing's never been better.
Yeah. Location.
So what popped up, Mr. Stan?
No results.
Damn right.
Oh, there wasn't. No, it was just today's mortgage rate.
5.8% interest rate.
It was a pop-up ad.
Oh. So it doesn't match anything.
No.
So you're in the clear.
I already knew that.
Yeah, that's why you were so confident. Not as confident when we did the drug test.
Oh, shut up, man.
He's got his trophy right up there.
Shazam popped up for this guy. It came up with, shut this crap off. 27796.
That's not very nice.
That's not nice at all. You know, that's original.
It's called criticism.
Yeah, you got to take it. That's when you're a star.
Absolutely.
When you're a star, you got to.
Great job, nice. Dave. The 2015 version is excellent.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Carmine.
Hey!
Big Ragu!
Well, you know, Dave, I was a little hard on you a couple weeks ago with the pepper from the break room. I thought you did pretty damn good.
Thank you, Carmine. I really appreciate
that,
man.
You want to download
that,
it?
Yeah, you want to download that?
I'll pass on that.
Oh, come on, man.
Would you yell at your kid if they're jamming it in the room?
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, this is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sam. I've been listening to you guys since I was a teenager. I'm 38 now, ever since I was a teenager.
Thank you, brother. What do you think?
I think it's all right. I mean, the music is all right. I think you're right. It is a little bit screamy. You know?
Yeah, it's very screamy.
Like throwing it down just a fuzz.
Yeah.
Would you say the lyrics are elementary?
I would say, yeah, they're a little
elementary. Very elementary.
And I think the word, I know it's called El Camino, but I think, you know, it says El Camino maybe once many times.
One too many times?
Too many times.
All right.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
That.
I got it.
Yeah.
Song goes, Sally likes to ride in the El Camino, and you do that like, three or four times.
Then we go into other stuff, yeah.
Well, Dave, you're no rock star, but you are the only master of Shotapus.
Jealousy, man.
That's what it is, brah.
You know what it is, brah? Text line tough guys.
Yeah, that's what it is. Text line tough guys.
Text line tough guys.
Without a doubt. Who are you talking to with the other ones ringing? I'll take them cold. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Tom V.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I like it, but I think next time Dave ought to try the auto tune on his voice, man. It'd be really cool.
277-960.
Nah, Dave likes keeping
it
real.
Next time might be Gary from High Five.
Oh, yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is Chris.
Sounds like Gary.
Yes, ma'am.
Just wanted to say I love your song, Dave. Dan, I think you're great, and I'm in love with Haney. Love your show, guys.
Okay. Love you. Yeah, love you, too.
Right, love you. That could be Miss Menthol 2018.
You never know. Dreams are coming true all over the place, Dan.
They sure are.
That's what this show's about.
Guy just said the song's a ripoff of Mustang Sally.
What?
No, it's not.
I don't agree with them. I'm just reading what they say.
I would say there's a tip of the cap to Mustang Sally in the song. But
from the Absolute Law text line, now that's music.
All right.
What, Dave's song?
Yep.
Or the one that's playing now?
From the Absolute Law text line.
What's playing now.
Don't listen to anyone, Dave. Keep riding Sully around in the El Camino.
Yep, keep riding that Sully around. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, it's Martin.
Hey, Martin.
Ahoy, gentlemen. You know, as far as Dave's song goes, just if I can be as objective as possible, it is better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that, everybody's saying that. I'll agree to that.
Having said that, it's still very, his part in it, it's very two-dimensional. Like, it's, you know, there needs to be more substance there, I think.
Are you saying more?
Well, he's playing guitar as well.
Yeah, he's
holding down the rhythm.
Yeah, something.
It's not easy to sing and play.
It's not easy to play against Mark Haney is what it is. But
it is. You're absolutely right.
But it's not against. We're together.
Yeah, team.
Yeah, Mark Haney's the salt in Dave's stew.
Indeed, indeed. But I would definitely buy the song if it meant that Dave spent a lot less time at K-Rock and more time in the studio.
All right. We got to take a break.
And again.
From the Absolute Law text line, well, Dave, you're no rock star, but you sure are the only master of show to puss.
I just said that. I just said you were on the phone.
You know, we've had so many compliments today.
So many.
A lot of,
very
more
positive.
Than one person has said, not nearly as bad as I expected it to be.
That's what I'll say. Not as bad as I thought.
Mm-hmm. And big weekend coming up. And if you enjoyed that and you want to take it with you, it is available on our website.
Yeah. We're going to take a break.
You can stream it. You can download it. Do whatever you want.
All weekend long.
News headlines. He already said that. News headlines on the way, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails will also get a first look at traffic. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
96K Rock is where we've been for many years. It's not a bad place to be. Besides, we've been told we can check out any time we like. And then they said something else, but I forgot what it was. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show.
And for those of you just tuning in, we all know it's a different world after Irma. And today the world changed again with the debut of Dave's new hit song, El Camino.
Yes.
And has it made an impact on Southwest Florida.
It sure has.
Are we still receiving texts? Because I know that Dave has been perusing the social media sites.
So he's been reading his own reviews.
Dave,
is that what he's been doing?
Would you like to tell us what the public is saying about your song and your own voice?
Because you've been looking up your own reviews.
There's a few out there.
Yeah.
Let's hear it, Dave. Tell us what's going on.
We've done that one. Let's see. Really not bad, brah. A little sketchy. Edgy is cool. I like it, Dave. What did we used to call those wheels? Honeycomb Craigers? Worst song. If you call that a song that I ever heard.
D-Train's so disgusted.
Yeah. What's he upset about?
Just go ahead. Read your own reviews.
A lot of these, while not as bad as I thought it would have been.
Yeah.
A lot of that. A lot of that.
Take pride in that.
Dude, I like it, man. Congrats, Dave. Thank you, Joe. I've often considered what a seizure would sound like if it were put to music. Congrats, Dave. I know now. Ahoy! I have to join the Not As Bad As I Thought club. That was fun. And Haney has some serious chops. Cheers, fellas. So that's the general... Yeah. Let's go.
K-Rock traffic.
I got you a car all lined up for your video, Dave.
Woo!
You hear that?
No, what did he say?
He got you at El Camino.
Let's do it. All right, let's start in Fort Myers Beach. At the Red Coconut RV Park, we have a crash.
Oh, that's a great place, man.
Sure is.
So you're going to be on the lookout for that heavy traffic area down
there.
Hard to get a
camping spot there, though.
Always, always packed.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I've been down there.
Did you get to camp there?
No, I never did. Never did. I think I've partied there, though.
Well,
I guarantee you that.
Let's name places you haven't partied at, huh?
Well, I don't think there's a place in town I haven't touched. All right. Let's see. Also, Fort
Got
Myers.
Got a call from, or a text from the prison.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. How's it going over in the jail?
Hey, Dave, we needed a new song to play to get the prisoners to calm down during riots.
Nice. Nice. Maybe they'll use it in Guantanamo. All right, Ben C. Pratt, 6 Mile Cypress, and Metro Parkway crash. And then the street continues, a hit and run, no injuries at the 5,000 block of 6 Mile Commercial Court. That'll do it. Another update, 30 minutes.
Coming up in less than 1 hour will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Ganey. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, Haney is going to tell you right now because he's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have things for you you did not know.
Okay.
Having friends is a lot of work.
Yes.
That's why I don't have that many.
No. How many, if you had a count, D-Train, how many friends you got?
4.
All right. You, Haney? If you had to count, I mean, you have friends, you have acquaintances.
Well,
and
so
associates.
Many,
and associates.
So many of them are deceased, unfortunately.
Yeah, me too.
No, man.
Well, that happens when you get older, Dave. I probably got a good 5 friends that I could call and would be there for me.
Yeah.
6 if you count Dave.
No.
But I'm not.
Yeah, Dave would help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, if you paid him.
Shut up, man.
I think his stats obviously would be a lot different if we all still lived in a town that we went to school in.
Right. Not for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're kind of a dick.
No. Yeah. Fresh start for Stan.
Yeah.
We'll tell you why it's so much work and how many hours you got to put in to have a friend. Science has finally figured out why your knuckles crack. A woman catches her 14-year-old drinking.
Ah, Dave.
And she had to teach her child a lesson the old-fashioned way.
Like you and I were taught.
Yep. And finally, Dateline, Pensacola, Florida. A woman believes she's become violently ill due to bad Chinese food. Turns out it wasn't the bad Chinese food that was her problem.
Oh.
We'll tell you in less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark. Let's laugh. It's important.
We now present to you the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone.
D-Train?
Dave.
Haney.
Honey, I'm home.
Woo!
Well, he's awfully busy getting ready for Sunday, but the Easter Bunny found some time for Twitter.
Yeah, here comes Peter Cottontail hopping down that bunny trail.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
Easter Bunny tweets.
Hippity hoppity, Easter's on its way.
Damn, Dave. Not as bad as I expected.
Well, what about these eggs?
What about them? I'd like to throw a few.
How am I going to deliver all these eggs when I'm still hungover from St. Patty's Day?
I don't know. I'm too drunk.
Can't find the carrot emoji. Dang it.
You know it.
Between you and me, Peter Cottontail made Harvey Weinstein look like Mother Teresa.
How dare he?
Sorry, millennials don't have any trophy-shaped peeps.
What is this? What's going on here? What are you people doing here?
Sometimes I think I should be more popular than Santa. Mm. Then I remember that I'm best known for breaking into homes and hiding your hard-boiled eggs, so I get it.
Yeah. Love it.
You think your taxes are a pain? Try having over 100 dependents.
Love it.
I'd like to do that one, but it's not appropriate.
Can I see it? Can I just see it?
Oh, sure. If you can think of a way around it, I would love to do it. It's the very top one there. I would love to do that, but I don't think I can.
Touchy, huh?
I don't know.
Get out of my danger zone.
Nobody's in your danger.
Well, you've been editing me for far less than that.
You can say pooping.
Yeah.
Sorry, I haven't tweeted in a while. I've been too busy pooping out Cadbury cream eggs.
No, love it.
Can't take it back now.
No.
I'd be a hypocrite if I had a naughty list. Don't you know what rabbits are doing when they're not delivering eggs? Shout out to all my homies who lost a foot to a redneck's keychain.
Right on. Yeah.
I'd like to thank Kirsten Dunst for making me not the celebrity with the most jacked up teeth.
Yeah.
FYI, not everything I leave behind is chocolate.
Yeah. Yep. There it is.
Damn rabbit raisins everywhere.
Yeah.
Rabbit raisins and road apples. And finally, the very top Easter Bunny tweet.
Yes.
Not a big fan of IPA beers. Too hoppy.
Ah, I get that one.
That's a zingaroo.
That is too
zingarooski.
Ba-boom.
And that, my friend.
Tune in tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
That's it, baby.
That's it, baby.
Ready? Email time. Ahoy. At StanandHaney.com.
Sally what? Likes to ride in my El Camino.
Yeah.
Sausage swiped Sully in an El Camino.
Get with the program, maggot.
This is a great email. Haney and I and D-Train and, yeah, I guess Dave, although he don't know you. Big shout out to Nick. Big shout out to Nick. Nick writes in, "Hi, guys. My name is Nick. I love your show.
Thank you, Nick.
I go to Bishop Barrow High School, and I listen to your show at school. I was listening the other day and got my teachers to listen, too, to you guys.
Nice.
The next day, they said they liked it. Signed, Nick. Thank you, Nick.
Good job, Nick.
Big howdy-do.
You see that?
To our new buddy Nick at Bishop Perot.
Right on, Stan.
And I know this is going to come across as crazy, Stan, but bear with me. Nick has pointed out that people who were not aware of our show, when they became aware of it, they enjoyed it.
Yeah, they liked it.
So based on this hypothesis, if we were, as a radio station, to do some sort of, I don't know, outside promotion to alert people to the fact that we exist.
Isn't that something?
Because if people find out about us, they like the show.
Yep.
But if they don't know about the show...
Yep. That's what I've been telling
And
them.
There's only so much we can do because we're just here on this channel.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get their attention some other way.
We're in our own universe.
Mm-hmm.
You got to break out of the bubble so that people that don't even know. And that comes from external promotion.
Yeah. And I know that that Beasley has sunk a lot of money and man hours into praying that people will happen upon us flipping through the dial.
Yep, that's a very thought-out strategy.
And it's been moderately successful, I have to say.
Yep.
But just imagine if maybe we made a concerted effort.
Yep. Would be impressive.
Yeah, but that's just crazy talk.
Yeah, that's you're talking like a crazy man. This is from Kyla, talking about our question of the week yesterday. The first pet that it was yours. Everybody had the family pet, but at some point in your life, they say, all right, we're going to get you this pet, little Timmy, but it's your job to feed it, take it for a walk, clean out its cage, whatever. What about you, Dave? What was your first pet that you were responsible for?
I had a husky named Blue. I had one blue eye, one brown eye, and had it for, I think...
So you mean two blue eyes and one brown eye?
Yeah, that's
way
better.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love
it. No, but I think it lasted... It lasted probably about 6-7 weeks.
Hours.
6-7 weeks?
Yeah, and then it got stolen.
That happens.
Yeah.
Yep.
I never understood people stealing dogs.
Yep, stole it. No. Stole it out of my backyard, man.
That's why now they put the chips in. They scan that thing, they find out where it is.
Active. You have to have them scanned manually. You don't just go online and find out where your dog is.
But found the dog.
You
the
go
other
and
day.
Take old two blue, one brown.
And
they'll
find it. Not only is Dave a bona fide rock star, he's also a local hero.
I rescued and found the dog. And
did you know that, Stan?
I reunited it with its family.
I don't care.
It felt so good.
And he got the whole thing on video.
Yes, I did.
Kayla says, we had a family dog, but my very first pet I was responsible for was a guinea pig that I named Booger. I figured if the dog went outside to potty, the guinea pig should do as well. Plus, I hated to clean the cage. I would just go and put Booger in the yard and leave him for a while. He would eat the grass like little bitty crop circles out there in the lawn. Worked out great for about a year, except for the few times I had to crawl under the house to find him. Finally, one day, he was just gone. I miss little Booger.
Aww.
Signed, Kyla.
Aww.
Yep.
Oh, Boogie.
The Guardian, everybody. The Guardian.
Jesus.
Where's Bok Choy gone?
Yeah, I know. He's in town, I guess. He's in town.
God, I miss him.
Yep. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, when I was about 5 years old, they were beginning to domesticate dogs. No,
1874.
I'm sorry.
Just prior to the Great War.
Guys, when I was about 5, I wanted a rabbit for a pet. Of course, I said I would take care of it. Well, I did for about a week, then forgot to latch the cage one day. Not only did he get out, but our dog, that was a hunting dog, killed it.
Hossen Pfeffer.
That was the last pet I was in charge of until I was in my 20s. Guys, I saw something this morning that disgusted me and just plain pissed me off. A GoFundMe page has been set up for the criminal and disgraced Andrew McCabe. I don't know how much it has been raised, but I bet it will be a substantial amount. That just disgusts me.
Jackass.
I thought of giving money to that scumbag almost makes me want to vomit. Now, the next story was about a 10-year-old boy who wrote a letter to President Trump at Christmas telling him how his dad needed a kidney, and that's all he wanted for his present. Of course, Trump did reply to the boy, saying that he would have his staff see what options were available. Now, my reason for saying all of this is Fox News has set up a GoFundMe page, which you can easily find on their website, for the father who needs the new kidney and that brave young man. So here's what I will ask all of the Stan and Haney family to do. Let's just see what we as a society think is more important. A criminal who tried his damnedest to discredit the president and is a traitor, or a father and his young son. So please help. Thanks. You guys are the best.
Yeah, that McCabe's bad news.
Yeah, he is.
And it doesn't stop in Washington. New Haven field office is the worst. It's in shambles. And that Aaron Rouse, he's a McCabe disciple out in Las Vegas. And if the public knew what was really going on out there with the Paddock investigation,
yeah,
they'd be calling for his head.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
We made Jason Priestley cry like a woman. And we can do the same for you if you're some sort of effeminate, drug-addled, washed-up asshole. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We'll get you updated with traffic from Dave here in just a second. And we're also going to tell you, starting on Monday, the safe word is back. You could pick up a grand. You could. Each and every weekday, it's going to be available up to four times. Details after the Waterman.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, all right, all right, boys. It's Friday. Woo!
Woo!
There we go, Stan. Give me a good woo. All right, not much to report. We do have a busted-ass POS in the road on the Midpoint Bridge in Fort Myers, and that'll do traffic. Another update, 30 minutes.
Contraire.
We got some Waterman. Road watchers. We got some road watchers.
From our road watchers, Estero Boulevard is an absolute parking lot, backed up to 4 miles past the Publix.
Wow.
Getting ready for that Easter holiday, and you
are
up to date. It's back, guys, and it could mean cash in your pocket. 96K Rock giving you a chance to win $1,000 up to four times a day. It starts on Monday, and it'll be each and every weekday at 11, 1, 4, and 6 p.m. Listen for K Rock to give you the safe word. When you hear it, you'll text the word to 40772 or enter it at 96krock.com. One multi-market winner could score $1,000 each and every time, thanks to Florida Community Bank. If you want all the details on this, we do it every year. Go to 96krock.com. Got all the info right there. phone lines are out. Take the call. Ahoy.
Hey, brother.
Hey, man, who's this?
I haven't talked to you in a long time, man. Hey, it's Toes Stomp.
Toes Stomp? What a day. Toes, how you been?
I've been just outstanding, brother. The band is sounding better than ever.
Oh, man. You know, anybody that doesn't know who this guy is, I'm telling you, celebrities will call this show from time to time. Toes Stomp, who's a fine musician in his own right, the son of the late Dwayne Stomp of Blacktooth. And, man, you know what? You're following right in Daddy's footsteps, and you're as successful as ever. Why are you calling the show today, Toes?
Well, I appreciate you saying nice things about Daddy, man. You know, it's a family tradition. It's what we like to say, man.
Amen. Amen.
No, I just, You know, for whatever reason, we're up here in Alpharetta, Georgia right now. We're getting ready to do a show tonight.
All right.
At a real big club up here, just opened up.
What's it called?
It's called Blunts.
Blunts.
All right. like with a Z.
Yeah.
Blunts.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. You know, around the Atlanta area, they have a big rap and hip hop scene.
Yeah.
And so we got a couple rappers coming in, and we're going to lay down, the music for them. We're going to do that, you know, kind of as a special surprise feature for some of the local rappers up here. One of them, what was his name, Ted? S Eat and Grin. I don't. S Eating Grim.
S Eating Grim. Man,
like the Grim Reaper.
Sure,
yeah,
sure. Wow, that's awesome.
So,
when are you coming down our way, though, Toes? So you and the band, when are you coming down back doing some clubs down here in Florida?
Well, you need to get on the phone with that Jeff Zito, get us booked down there. I don't know when we coming to Florida. I know this weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to be doing Alpharetta tonight, and then over the weekend, we're going to make our way down to Biloxi, Mississippi.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking forward to this. It's such a prestige gig, guys. I'm honored that they chose us, but we're going to be playing the Sunrise Service in Biloxi. It's sponsored by one of the casinos there.
Right, for Easter Sunrise Service, and it's sponsored by one of them casinos in Biloxi. Hey, man, I'm telling you, that's special.
Yeah, we're going to be playing right there on the beach as the sun comes up.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Just try and entertain the worshipers.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. I mean, I know it's Easter and all that, but you, Toes, up for Sunrise to play and do that right there. We can watch the sun. That's a little early for Toes Stomp. I know it was early for your daddy, Dwayne.
Oh, hell no. I normally don't get to bed when I got a bed. Honestly, I don't usually get to bed until, 10, 11 a.m. So
sure. Oh, well, then it should be no problem.
Yeah, that's prime time. Maybe just a couple extra toots here and there, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Careful, you don't want to get in trouble again.
But listen, brother.
Yeah.
I had heard from a little bird that today was a big day on your show.
Well, for one person, it was a very big day on the show, and we for the lack of a better word, amused him. But it was a big day. Are you familiar with, because you've been listening to our show ever since you were a little boy? Do you familiar with Dave the Waterman, who comes on our show on Fridays?
Oh, hell yeah, I know Dave. Dave's come out to the show before.
Yeah, he has.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, he has. You stop buying him drinks, too, man. When he's at your show, we get the call the next day.
Yeah, we've had some good times, Toes.
Yeah, he knows how to party, man. And
damn right.
I seen this little bugger backstage, and I said, how the hell did you get back here? And he showed me, he had the pass and everything. I said, well, you must know somebody important. He goes, all right, all right, all right, right on.
Yeah.
And said, woo, or something like that. But, yeah, he said, if I remember correctly, where we was at... You got a baseball stadium or something we played there.
We got JetBlue. We got Hammond. You're thinking of Terry Park.
That might have been it. I don't know. All I know is that we was on a baseball field or something.
It's the old one.
And I got to talking to this little bugger. I took a liking to him, and he said that he finally fessed up and said he'd lifted the pass off of Robert Hallman, because the guy had evidently passed out in the back seat of his car or something. And so he said, he ain't using it. And we had a real good time, and I'm real proud to hear. I heard the song. I think it's great, and I'm so proud of you, little brother.
Thank you, Toes. I got to tell you, man, it's been 18 years in the making, man. You know how it goes.
Yeah, it's a long road. People think just because who my daddy was that Just, all I got to do is show up, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a lot. People don't know how much hard work it is being a rock and roller, man.
You're damn right. Everybody thinks it just comes natural, man.
A lot of hard work, you know. And I remember those days, Toes, when you were first starting out with your band. Your daddy was still alive, and you know, he would build you up big, big, big. And I remember the first reviews you got, and I still remember. We talked about it on the air. Not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, and I remember... Daddy would tell me forever. I mean, you know, I started out, you know, changing strings on guitars, and carrying around amplifiers, and, you know, working the back line and, you know, checking the snake and running lights and all this stuff before I ever even thought about playing myself. And when I finally picked up that bass guitar, my daddy said, you know, son, you got to have a hook. You got to have something that'll make them remember you. And I took that to heart.
Yeah.
And that's when I started playing that bass guitar with my toes.
Yep. That's how he got his name, everybody. Everybody's got to have a little thing there. And that's how it set you apart from your family. And it set you apart from everybody else out there, which got you noticed. And thus, you know, the reviews of Not As Bad As I Thought.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a great run, and of course, Dinglefinger and all of that stuff. But, that kind of crested, and these days we are touring under the Black Tooth name.
Oh, you're using... All right, this is new to me because I didn't know this. So you've taken on the Black Tooth name and you're touring as Toes, Stomp, and Black Tooth. Am I right on that?
Well, it's Black Tooth.
Yeah.
And then in small letters featuring Toes, and then in big letters Stomp.
It catches
and,
the
you
eye.
Know, I think it's a great thing to be. You know, carrying on Daddy's legacy, because, you know, whatever legacy I might have on my own is pretty much, I guess that ship sailed.
Yeah, I got to ask you this, because you've been working long and hard, probably for the last 10 years, to get your dad, Dwayne, and Blacktooth into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame up there in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And each and every year, so many fans are disappointed that Blacktooth doesn't get nominated and that they're in. And I'm hoping that the push is still going on, because your daddy, Dwayne Stomp, and that band, Blacktooth, in the early 70s and into the, through the 70s into the 80s, were a powerhouse band in this country, and they deserve to be in.
Yeah, I appreciate your kind words about my daddy, and I also want you to know how much I appreciate your friendship, because when we first started talking about the Hall of Fame, you gave me a phone number, and you said, if you want to know the truth about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you need to talk to this man. And lo and behold, the man I talked to was none other than Ike Turner.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And he explained to me that it's all about money. So what we're working on right now is we're working on designing, I guess they call it a GoFund page.
GoFundMe,
To try and raise money so that we can afford to have him in the Hall of Fame. Because I don't think... It's not an issue about the music. I think everybody up there at the Hall of Fame agrees that the music is there. It's just that we can't afford to have the premium table that you have to buy in order to be honored.
Yeah, I think it's like $2,000 a plate, and they expect you, if you're going in, you got a penny. Well, maybe one or two of you can go. You and your mama go up there when the band gets inducted. That's only $4,000, and then you can be seated with some other people and not have a main table. But the thing is getting Dwayne in.
Well, and then, you know, if we want to play, then that's even more money.
That's true, because if he does get in, not only nominated, but Blacktooth gets in, being that you're touring as Blacktooth now, you get a few of the surviving members. Are there any original members of Blacktooth? I mean, they came up like around 1970, 71. Are there any originals still in your version of Blacktooth or around that could play?
Well, if you remember Billy, the second drummer.
Yeah.
He's about 78 years old now. And when we get a venue, and it's usually not an issue, but sometimes when you're dealing with a Las Vegas or a prestige gig like that, they'll ask, are there any original members?
Uh-huh.
And what we found is if they ask that question, we're not going to get the gig if we don't answer it correctly.
Right.
So if the money's right, which it is in Las Vegas, you play a bowling alley out there, you're making some change.
What
we'll do is we'll send Billy a plane ticket, hand him a tambourine, and just have him sit off to the side.
There you go. It suffices.
And, we slip him $50.
Yep.
He's got a drink tab, and he is fat and happy. I'll tell you, man. But listen, I didn't mean to call in and talk all about me.
I know, it's about El Camino.
And Daddy, today's a very special day, man, and I remember what that felt like the first time I heard Dingle Finger on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me ask you something. Do you want me? I can arrange it. I can send you up a copy, a good, clean wave copy of that song. And can you do something for Dave, maybe? Get it in the right hands?
Yeah, man, absolutely send me a copy. But what I was calling in for is for my little brother, and I want to make sure he's prepared to be a rock and roll star.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
You ready?
You damn right I'm ready, Toes. I've been born ready, man.
All right, man. Well, we got to induct you into the club.
All right.
Because it ain't just about your singing and writing and playing.
No.
You got to know how to handle yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just around your fans.
Yeah.
You got to know how to handle yourself on a bus. You think you know how to do that?
Yeah, yeah, there ain't no doubt.
I don't know that he does, Toes.
Nope, there ain't no doubt. I can handle myself on bus, bro.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple of rules
that
I think would probably help you out, man.
You got it.
Number one, when you're on bus with other musicians,
mm-hmm.
you got to make sure that you got some good stories that relate to the industry.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have any stories that relate to the industry. You better come up with some.
Yeah, you got to start. You don't call it a music business or anything like that. You got to call it the industry.
Yeah, industry.
What else?
The industry.
What else does he need to know, Toast?
I'm gonna give you an example. Like, let's say you're on a tour bus and you've got your musicians there, and you're halfway between Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You got a long ride. So you got to tell stories about rock and roll.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
You be me and I'll be you.
All
okay?
Right.
Hey, Toes.
Hey.
Did you know that David Bowie banged / his mother?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me, Waterman? Man.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Damn.
I know it because I'm in the industry.
Yeah.
So that's all
that's
I got. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, if you're in the industry,
just got to say, hey, man.
And the cool thing now is everybody's got their phones and all that.
Yeah.
And you can say, hey, look it up. It's true.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is you're going to have a lot of interest from the ladies.
Yep.
I imagine ever since you played that song, man, your phone's got to be blowing up.
Not really.
It's hot.
Not really.
Now, chances are, you got one that you like. God forbid you get married.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're going to stop chasing tail, brother.
Right.
Because it's going to be there for you every night.
It's always going to be throwing in my face, right, bro?
Yeah, man. And you know what? That's what I call a fringe benefit.
Damn right.
You know what? You work at a retail store, you probably get a discount. If you're a rock star, that's what you get.
Hey,
that's part of your compensation.
Toes, we gotta run, Toes, and I appreciate
Hey, listen though. Here's what you gotta do.
Yeah.
If you're doing something with strange and you gotta go home to your lady, don't make a rookie mistake and take a shower. What you do is you order up Mexican food and you put it all over your junk.
Thank you, Toads. It's always good time.
Damn, that guy's info.
He's a legend. His daddy was. We'll be back.
Okay, Dwayne, we're going to try it once more. Just remember now, introduce yourself and read what's on the paper in front of you. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fine. Dwayne Staupe, Substance Abuse Awareness Campaign. This is take 9. Dwayne, that's your cue.
Oh, right. Anytime you're ready.
We're ready, Dwayne, go.
Oh, hi. This is Dwayne Staupe of Blacktooth. Kids, when you drink and drive...
No, Dwayne. No, cut. It's not when you drink and drive.
Oh, right. Let me do it again.
Yeah, good idea. This is Dwayne Staupe, PSA, take 10.
Hi, this is Dwayne Staupe. When I drink and drive, I'll...
Cut, Dwayne. Dwayne, this spot is supposed to be against driving while intoxicated.
What?
Never mind. We'll do it one more time. And remember, say, don't do drugs. And if you must drink this holiday weekend, don't drive. You got it?
I told you I got it.
Fine. Dwayne Staupe, PSA, take, 11.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Staupe telling you, if you do drugs this weekend... Don't drive.
Wrong again, Dwayne. It's don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
That's what I said.
No, it's not. It's not even close to what you said.
You come in this booth, I'll show you how close it was, Sherlock.
We're going to do it again, Dwayne. Say don't do drugs. If you must drink this holiday weekend, do not drive. Take 12.
This is Dwayne Staupe. Weekends are for drunks. Do drugs.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much for coming in. I think with a little editing, we've got something we can use.
Don't do drugs. And if
you must drink
this holiday weekend, don't
drive.
This is not a test. If this were an actual test, we would have told you otherwise. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Well, hey there, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Roger Marley coming up at 6 o'clock. We're going to get you updated on traffic. Mark Haney and the news coming up as well. So let's put Dave the Waterman to work, huh?
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, boys. It's Friday. Woo! Time for everybody to go out and enjoy your weekend.
Ride, Sally, ride.
Damn right, in the El Camino. I'm telling you, man, I'm just catching it, man. All right, let's start. Fort Myers, we have a busted-ass POS on the road at Shell Point Boulevard and David Drive. So you're going to be on the lookout for that. Fort Myers, we have a crash at Fiddlesticks Boulevard and Daniels Parkway. No injuries or road blockage there. And Bonita Springs, we got some heavy traffic. I-75 northbound at mile marker 116. Now you're up to date. Another update, 30 minutes.
Thank you, Waterman. Mark Haney and the news. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Charles Curalt in New York. Eric Severide in Miami Beach. Charles Collingwood in London. George Herman in Washington. Marvin Kalb in Washington. Robert Pierpoint in Washington. And Daniel Shore in Washington.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, March 30th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Stan, are you familiar with the famous philosopher Voltaire?
Sure am.
Rich man. Rich and famous.
Mm-hmm.
You know how he got that way?
I don't know. Opened up some chicken joints. I don't know what.
He made all of his money in a single year. That year was 1729 when he was 35 years old.
OK. Okay. That's it.
He realized something. Anybody else could have realized it, but he was the only one that figured it out. It dawned on him that the jackpot of the French lottery was larger than the cost of buying every single ticket.
Ah.
He bought every single ticket.
That a boy, Voltaire.
And won a jackpot of 500,000 francs, equivalent to tens of millions of dollars today.
Beautiful.
Never had to worry again.
If I get the website, I saw what I call gold, rare film. What I want you to do for me, D-Train, on my personal Facebook page, I posted a clip of like Yankee Stadium opening day. I think it was like 1920-something or 30-something. And it was newsreel footage that is now at a .ed site. And you go to that site, it has the website on it, and you type in anything, and you can get all old newsreel footage, home movies, and all this stuff, unedited. And there I typed in Fort Myers, Florida. And there, from like 1931, is that stinking, smelly bastard Thomas Edison, as they were setting up for a newsreel about him and his effing goldenrod. And it's unedited. And it's the guy that's setting
up. Now, is it the old style where it looks like he's walking fast?
No. And they set the microphone up, and they're trying to get him to comment. Now, the microphone's on, so it's picking up his chatter at his place in Fort Myers, bitching and complaining. And the guy says, okay, we're going to stand right here. He's holding goldenrod. And then he wanted Edison to go and talk about it. And Edison is whining and bitching that he's not going to talk. I don't want to talk. And so the poor guy that's standing with him is explaining about goldenrod and tires and how they're trying to get successful. And Edison.
What a dumb idea.
Yep, it was a dumb idea. And Edison's doing nothing but bitching and complaining about the microphone being on and that he doesn't want to talk.
Because he's a stupid idiot.
He's a stoop.
I found your ball game, but where's this link you're talking
about?
You
see the thing underneath in the ball game where it has the website on there? In the lower left-hand corner?
Oh, yeah. The watermark?
Yes. You type in that, and it'll take you to the site, and you can hear Edison bitching and complaining about the microphone from Fort Myers. Absolutely pathetic.
Is that at his house?
Yeah. And he's walking around where they're growing on his property all the damn goldenrod.
Now, is it at the house or the lab?
It's on the grounds. He's not indoors. He's outside. That was for the best sound back then, because they couldn't really pick it up with the echo and stuff. I'll find it.
No, my computer's frozen. I got to wait for it to wake up.
Oh. Sorry about that, but I had to pass that along to you. And if we can post that, it's Edison Gold and Rod.
Yep. This will blow the minds of millennials, but there was a time not that long ago when nobody had a cell phone.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Well, you're probably wondering, well, what did you do? If you just had a phone at your house or at work, how did people manage to deal with life? There was something called the payphone.
Yep. It was a dime.
Well, at one time.
Yeah. When I was a kid, it was a dime.
And it was a quarter when it died.
Yep. Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, it went up to a quarter.
There are still about 100,000 payphones remaining in the United States. Most of those, well, I can't say most, but one-fifth, let's say, 20%, are all in New York.
Mm-hmm.
By comparison, in 1999, and it was already fading.
Yeah, it was.
There were 2 million payphones. I wonder what happened to all of them.
I had a payphone in my house once. Somebody was like refurbishing them and make them so that they can be plugged into a house phone. And I had for the longest time a real payphone that worked. And I think I sold it at a garage sale or something.
50 cents?
So, well, a bit more than that, but they weighed a ton.
Well, I guess they just scrap them, huh?
Yeah. They're pretty cool. I'd like to have one hanging in the studio here, payphone.
Mm-hmm. How about a quick true or false?
All right.
The surface of the sun is hotter than the core of the Earth.
That is false. The hottest place is right in the center of the Earth.
The core of the Earth is indeed hotter than the surface of the sun.
We're on what they call the crust. Then you got your mantle.
So it's like French bread.
Yes. Yes. Have the crust of the French bread. But how if you break that open?
There'd be like scalding melted cheese at the core.
Yep. You know how it is. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Not like the green cheese on the moon.
No.
This would be a hot yellow or an orange melted cheese.
Yep.
And it'd burn you.
Yeah. It's like lava.
When you're a kid, you got nothing better to do, so you don't think about it. But as an adult, you realize it's a lot of work to have friends.
It is.
According to a new study at the University of Kansas, it takes an average of 50 hours of your time just hanging out to be casual friends with someone. So after 50 hours, they get the upgrade from acquaintance to casual friend.
Is this 50 hours a year?
No, 50 hours total to get to know somebody.
Oh, so you got to bank that amount of time before you get to know somebody.
If you have spent less than 50 hours with someone, they're an acquaintance.
Okay.
Wow. Once you put in 50 hours, they can be considered a casual friend.
All right.
How long does it take to become real friends?
Double it.
Not quite. 90 hours.
Well, close enough. 90 hours that I ain't got.
And if you want to become close friends, that requires more than 200 hours.
Jeez.
Now, this is for adults. When you're kids, you can make friends with somebody in 10 minutes. A study also found that working together doesn't really count.
No.
You can become friends with a coworker after you've worked together for a while, but it takes longer than if you were just hanging out with them outside of work. The researchers also made available an online tool that can rate how strong your friendships are. You answer a few questions about someone you've met in the last 6 months, and it predicts your level of friendship.
Really?
Indeed.
There's Edison in
Fort Myers. All right, well, let's enjoy
that.
Hold
on. And he does. You're going to hear him talk, but he won't talk into the microphone.
He'll only talk about not talking.
Yeah, he's just big baby. Roll them.
Down at the front half mile.
That's him talking.
Yeah, you find him right there. Yeah. One. I found one. 21. 21. And you get all these from that.
Can you bring in a little louder?
How'd you get so many rooks? Cut them again and again.
You see, look at him staring at the microphone.
Yep.
He's mad at it.
Stand right there.
What? I want you to stand right there.
Turn around here.
Right here. Just stand right there.
Hello!
Just
so
you can talk into this. Well, I get over here.
Not a going to talk.
You're not a going to talk. Want to see something?
Tell him, Mr. Archie, say he's looking at his golden
rod. Keep still.
And he's just staring at it because he don't know what it is.
He's not much on the talking, you know, see? And his voice is very poor. I'll stand over here, then I get on the right side of him. Come up here closer to this. Well, you're not going to talk. All right. Well, if he's not going to talk, why then...
Imbecile.
And this that golden rod that they're using for making getting the rubber out of it. And this here's a pretty good percentage of rubber, this rod does. And we have quite a number of beds of this here and growing, and we'll soon be ready to cut some.
Imagine that woman's picture,
actually. Yep, there he goes, wandering off talking. He's an idiot. Edison was a... Look, I'm going to say it right now. Edison was an idiot.
Well, we've said it before.
Yep, and that... There's actual film footage of him being a jerk.
He's a dotard. In a moment.
You can help support the Stan and Haney webpage by going to stanandhaney.com and clicking the Amazon website icon. Save that to your favorites. Then simply use that link to access Amazon. It costs you nothing and helps support the Stan and Haney page each and every time you shop.
And now back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
That is footage of Edison just being king of the jerks. And he doesn't know. His buddy there is holding the golden rod, telling him what they're doing. He doesn't even know what it is.
Edison isn't smart enough to be dumb.
I hope. Takes smarts to be dumb. What is he then?
Plant.
Yeah.
Mineral.
Mm-hmm.
About 50 years ago, someone proposed a theory for why it is we can crack our knuckles. They believed it was because tiny bubbles form when we move our joints. So when you pop a bunch of them at once, they make a sound. And science was like, yeah, that makes sense. We'll go with that.
Makes sense to me.
Last fall, a group of researchers at Stanford University finally decided to actually look into this. Their results were released yesterday, and the study shows that when we crack our knuckles, we are indeed popping microscopic bubbles that have built up in the joints. On the bright side, there's now scientific proof that cracking your knuckles almost definitely won't increase your risk of developing arthritis. So crack away.
See, I can't crack my knuckles. Nothing. I've never been
really?
Able. That nothing cracks. See, I can't do that. Everything. They don't.
I just haven't done it, and so I did it when I was a kid. I don't think I could do it now.
Yeah, you know, I'm, you know, waiting for something to crack and pop. They don't.
No.
What does that mean if you can't crack a knuckle?
Well, we're too limber.
That
means
that's right.
We're working properly.
Yep, we're quick as cats, and we don't have air buildup.
Yep, we're as quick as a cheetah that jumps into a traveling tourist vehicle.
Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Just don't move.
Yep, just stay perfectly still.
And the cheetah's like, meow.
Yep.
Kitty, 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 kitty.
Do you think you could have just sat there as the thing pawed around at you?
Yes, I could have. I could have done just what that guy did.
I think there's another one on the other side of the camera.
And not move a muscle.
No, what happened is they were in one of those open vehicles on safari.
Yeah, you've seen them.
And, you know, they're going slow, and a cheetah comes along and gets close. Oh, look, there he is. Well, the cheetah jumps up onto the hood of the vehicle, and they're all looking at it like, oh, isn't that cool? Look at that. And while they're looking at that cheetah, Her friend
climbs in
the back behind them,
clawing at the headrest and just, you know, work, you know, like a house cat would.
Yep. I guess we know those aren't real leather seats because the seats survive.
Yep. Not being torn up.
But it was. It was just like a kitty cat.
There he is.
Yep.
Look at him. Look at him.
You know what the weird thing is?
Don't move.
That guy's life is in danger.
Yeah.
But looking at it, we're so divorced from it. It's like, looks like a cat.
Yeah.
That thing couldn't hurt you.
Could go up and pet it and maybe give it a little treat.
And you just think, there's no way that thing could kill me. I would be able to do something about it.
No, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
Look at him. In a second.
But you know what I'm saying. You looking at it now,
yeah,
it's not that big.
No, it's just a little
kitty. I could take that.
A little kitty. It's probably meowing.
It is. Just playing.
Yeah. Just exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Curiosity.
Oh, look at that little
just wants
kitty.
To cuddle.
How about some milk?
Yeah. Then it hits a jugular.
Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh, I didn't realize it had knives for hands.
Yeah, and I'm bleeding out.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to know just where my jugular is. You know, back in our day, of course, it didn't work on me, but you got caught smoking or drinking. What they do is make you smoke or drink till you got sick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, bad parenting. Worked for me.
Well, there are some places that are more traditional. For instance, Kentucky.
Yeah. Yep. And it depends on what part of Kentucky, too.
Well, Somerset.
Where's that, D-Train? Well, Somerset, Kentucky.
I don't know, but I'm going to Google it. I bet Eastern Kentucky if the story's
well,
the
story.
Well,
the story comes to us from the Lexington Herald Leader. So I'm assuming it's somewhere near Lexington.
Yeah, outside of Boone County.
Nowhere near Boone County, thank you very much.
Wear a hat just like a Mountie. I'm the sheriff of Boone County, and you in a heap of trouble, boy.
I was kind of close. It's more south, right in the middle, but closer to the east than the west.
Well, there is a 34-year-old mother in Somerset, Kentucky, named Miranda Polston. And earlier this month, she caught her 14-year-old daughter drinking alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Well, Miranda decided it was time to teach her a lesson, one she'd never forget, by forcing her daughter to consume a dangerous amount of alcohol. And because it's 2018, she filmed the entire thing.
Naturally.
Which included people holding her daughter down on a chair.
Oh, my!
And forcing her to drink while she screamed at them and begged them to stop. And there was a lot of gurgling.
Okay, that ain't the... Okay, that's the wrong way.
Also, in the video, there's mommy laughing as her daughter falls face first onto the floor.
Yep. Kentucky.
The video continues with mommy saying they ought to sell this footage to MTV for $1 million.
Wow, brilliant.
The video did not make its way to MTV, but it did make its way to the authorities, and mommy was arrested on Wednesday for first-degree child abuse.
Yeah, there's mommy. You know, 14-year-old, you know, I'd rather have my daughter be caught drinking than smoking. That's my opinion. You know the old adage, if she smokes, she pokes. And
hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill.
I don't think that's how it works.
You know, that's one of the things. All right, you're caught drinking, sweetheart. That's fine.
There are so many things I could say, but I feel like I should say none of them.
Uh-huh.
29-year-old Crystal Emerson of Pensacola woke up around 4 a.m. on Sunday with gut-wrenching stomach pain.
Oh, my.
Now, this was not a mystery to Crystal. She wasn't shocked because she had a pretty good idea why she was feeling so bad. She thought she'd gotten food poisoning from the Chinese food she'd consumed earlier.
Yeah.
And so she tried to tough it out. You know how that is.
Sure.
And you're like, oh, Jesus. Yep. It's ever going to stop.
Yep. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. Let it pass.
She tried. Remember, the pain started at about 4 a.m. She toughed it out for a little while, but realized, and this is a horrible feeling, this ain't getting better. The pain not only didn't get better, it got worse. And her level of pain was so debilitating that she finally got scared and called 911. The ambulance arrived there at about 6:30 a.m. And at 6:59 a.m., she gave birth as they were driving to the hospital.
What? What?
It turns out that Crystal was 37 weeks pregnant.
What?
And had no idea.
Oh, that is a... Oh, you're kidding me. You're kidding me.
Doctors say it's absolutely insane.
Impossible.
That this 29-year-old woman...
29!
...did not realize she was pregnant. They are especially puzzled because she's already given birth to another child.
Oh, please.
So she would be well aware what pregnancy symptoms felt like. But Crystal says she didn't get much of a belly. She didn't have morning sickness.
Probably a mess to begin with.
She didn't feel any kicks or the baby moving.
Uh-oh.
And she wears scrubs at work, so she didn't notice her clothes getting tight or even fitting much differently.
Doesn't she go out on a Sunday or a Saturday?
Fortunately, she and her new baby son are both doing well.
There's something more to this story. That's a bunch of crapola. It really is.
Well, why don't we call her up and turn you loose on her?
Yeah. You know what?
Who are you trying to kid?
Ladies. Ladies out there. I'll bet you, women with children, you knew you were pregnant. You knew. And I don't think there's a woman out there that has given birth to a child full term that didn't know early on that they were pregnant. A woman knows when they're pregnant. A woman knows.
Well, who knows what was going on here?
Something not right, I'll tell you that.
But the fact that she says she didn't feel any kicks or the baby moving, thank God that baby's okay.
No kidding. Didn't feel nothing? And do we know the baby's okay? I mean, it gave birth and they
fine.
Do the little test on them.
Yeah, the baby is fine and her belly don't hurt no more. Damn Egg Foo Young gets you every time.
There's the baby right there. Looks perfectly healthy to me.
And that's the news for today, Friday, March 30th.
Double M XV. Triple I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
Thank you, Howard.
Sweet heaven. The Beasleys actually pay these two for this.
Oh, yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Oh, hey there, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Let me ask you this, and I know that we'll have a little bit of time to play a song. I already got a request. I think Dave texted it himself. They want to hear for the closing song of the show the El Camino song.
Get out of here.
Do we want to play it one more time in its entirety for the gang?
If it's not in the end bit,
That's what I would like to know. No, it's not in the end bit.
Then, yeah, we should give it another spin. Why not?
I mean, yeah, it's...
I had something else ready to go, but I figured it would be in the end bit.
No, it's... I think Toes is in
okay.
the...
Okay.
Oh, man. That guy is so cool.
Well, your mic's not on, hold on.
So wait a second, will you?
I can't hear myself.
Stop
That's because your mic's not on.
You idiot. Go. You're an idiot.
He's a good boy.
He's not a good. You're a buffoon.
He's a good boy.
Jeez.
Well, it's not my problem. The equipment.
Shut up for a second. Jeez. Yes. We'll play his song. I understand we got traffic to do. Stop telling me how to do my job.
Just making suggestions.
Shut up.
Constructive criticism.
Happy Easter, everybody.
I love everybody.
No, you don't. You're a jerk.
You know, when you get together with the family for brunch, you'll get more of this type of dialogue going on.
This is pretty much what it is. And it's always that one member of the family.
I wonder who that is.
Dave, you got to get a job this week? I will, Ma.
He's a good
boy. You want to get out of the cellar, Dave?
Stop
I will,
picking
Ma.
On him. He's a good boy.
He's not a good boy.
Yes, he is a good boy. Are you a good boy?
I try my
good
best.
Good boy. You're a good boy.
He is a good boy.
Here's a biscuit.
I try my best.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, everybody. Woo! Three things on the board here. Let's start Fort Myers. Crash in the 18,000 block of Wildcat Drive. Rawr! And then we have Crash Estero, Three Oaks Parkway, and Corkscrew Road.
Almost
and Bonita Springs, we have a crash, no injuries. Looks like the turn lane's
nice
blocked
another minute.
On Coconut Road and Three Oaks Parkway. Now
we're
going to
play his song, and it'll be very nice. Whew. We're very proud of him.
Let's laugh some more.
Another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
If you ever empty the bed of your pickup truck by driving backwards really fast and slamming on the brakes, you might be a redneck. If you've ever used a bar stool for a walker, you might be a redneck. If there is an electronic singing fish in more than three rooms of your home, you might be a redneck. If you missed fifth grade graduation because you had jury duty, you might be a redneck. If you think fast food is hitting a deer at 65 miles an hour, you might be a redneck. If somebody tells you you have something in your teeth and you take them out to see what it is, you might be a redneck.
Have yourselves a great weekend. Happy Easter. Lord willing, we'll be back here on Monday at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show. Leave the microphone alone. I'm talking. Leave the studio until I'm done. We leave you this afternoon with this.
Ahoy.
Hey, brother.
Hey, man, who's this?
I haven't talked to you in a long time, man. Hey, it's Toes Stomp.
Toes Stomp? What a day. Toes, how you been?
I've been just outstanding, brother. The band is sounding better than ever.
Oh, man. You know, anybody that doesn't know who this guy is, I'm telling you, celebrities will call this show from time to time. Toes Stomp, who's a fine musician in his own right, the son of the late Dwayne Stomp of Blacktooth. And, man, you know what? You're following right in Daddy's footsteps, and you're as successful as ever. Why are you calling the show today, Toes?
Well, I appreciate you saying nice things about Daddy, man. You know, it's a family tradition. It's what we like to say, man.
Amen. Amen.
But listen, brother.
Yeah.
I had heard from a little bird that today was a big day on your show.
Well, for one person, it was a very big day on the show. And we, well, I, for the lack of a better word, amused him. But it was a big day. You familiar with, because you've been listening to our show ever since you were a little boy. Do you familiar with Dave the Waterman, who comes on our show on Fridays?
Oh, hell yeah, I know Dave. Dave's come out to the show before.
Yeah, he has. He has. You stop buying him drinks, too, man. When he's at your show, we get the call the next day.
Yeah, we've had some good times, Toes.
Yeah, he knows how to party, man. And
damn right.
I seen this little bugger backstage, and I said, how the hell did you get back here? And he showed me, he had the pass and everything. I said, well, you must know somebody important. He goes, all right, right on.
Yeah.
And he said, woo, or something like that. But, yeah, he said, if I remember correctly, where we was at... You got a baseball stadium or something we played there.
Yeah, well, we got JetBlue. We got Hammond. You're thinking of Terry Park.
That might have been it. I don't know. All I know is that we was on a baseball field or something.
It's the old one.
And I got to talking to this little bugger. I took a liking to him, and he said that he finally fessed up and said he'd lifted the pass off of Robert Hallman, because the guy had evidently passed out in the back seat of his car or something. And so he said, well, he ain't using it. And we had a real good time, and I'm real proud to hear. I heard the song. I think it's great, and I'm so proud of you, little brother.
Thank you, Toes. I got to tell you, man, you know, it's been 18 years in the making, man. You know how it goes.
Today's a very special day, man, and I remember what that felt like the first time I heard Dinglefinger on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me ask you something. Do you want me? I can arrange it. I can send you up a copy, a good, clean wave copy of that song, and can you do something for Dave, maybe? Get it in the right hands?
Yeah, man, absolutely send me a copy, but what I was calling in for is for my little brother, and I want to make sure he's prepared to be a rock and roll star.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
You ready?
You damn right I'm ready, Toes. I've been born ready, man.
All right, man. Well, we got to induct you into the club.
All right.
Because it ain't just about your singing and writing and playing.
No.
You got to know how to handle yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And not just around your fans.
Yeah.
You got to know how to handle yourself on a bus. You think you know how to do that?
Yeah, there ain't no
doubt. I
don't
know that he does, Toes.
Nope, there ain't no doubt. I can handle myself on bus, bro.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple of rules
that
I think would probably help you out, man.
You got it.
Number one, when you're on bus with other musicians, mm-hmm. you got to make sure that you got some good stories that relate to the industry.
Right. Yeah, you got any? You don't have any stories that relate to the industry.
I'm gonna give you an example. Like, let's say you're on a tour bus and you've got your musicians there, and you know you're halfway between Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. You got a long ride, so you got to tell stories about rock and roll.
Yeah,
you're damn right.
You be me and I'll be you.
All
okay.
Right.
Hey Toes.
Hey.
Did you know that David Bowie banged / his mother?
Are you kidding me? Waterman? Man.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Damn.
I know it because I'm in the industry.
Yeah.
So that's all
that's
I got. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, if you're in the industry.
Just got to say, hey, man.
And the cool thing now is everybody's got their phones and all that.
Yeah.
And you can say, hey, look it up. It's true.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is you're going to have a lot of interest from the ladies.
Yep.
I imagine ever since you played that song, man, your phone's got to be blowing up.
Not really.
It's hot.
Not really.
Now, chances are, you know, you got one that you like. God forbid you get married.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're going to stop chasing tail, brother.
Right.
It's going to be there for you every night. If you're a rock star, that's what you get.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.